Iran delivered its peace proposal to Pakistani mediators Sunday, who then passed it on to President Donald Trump. But the American president dismissed the proposal, saying he did not even bother to read it to the end.
It's a stupid proposal. Nobody would take it, although Obama would have taken it, Biden would have taken it. What they took was far worse.
He said his plan is simple. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon, but he says Iran did not go for it.
How stupid? Are they stupid people? They didn't want to believe it. They think that, well, I'll get tired of this, or I'll get bored, or I'll have some pressure, but there's no pressure. There's no pressure at all. We're going to have a complete victory. We've already, in theory, had a complete victory from the military standpoint.
The diplomatic impasse leaves the current ceasefire in doubt.
It's unbelievably weak, I would say. I would call it the weakest right now. After reading that piece of garbage they sent us, I didn't even finish reading it. I said, I'm not going to waste my time reading it. I would say it's one of the weakest right now. It's on life support. They understand. These are all medical people. Dr. Oz, life support is not a good thing. Do you agree?
Bad prognostic.
I would say the ceasefire is on massive life support, where the doctor walks in and says, sir, your loved one has approximately a 1% chance of living.
Trump's view of Iran's proposal and the ceasefire is in line with that of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who said in an interview with CBS's program 60 Minutes that the war is not over because Iran still has enriched uranium. Iran's proposal, itself a response to an earlier U.S. proposal, called for the U.S. to lift sanctions, end the blockade on Iranian ports, pay war reparations, and recognize Iran's sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. It also called for later negotiations over the nuclear issue. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Esmail Baghaei defended Iran's proposal.
We did not demand any concessions. The only thing we demanded was Iran's legitimate rights.
He described Iran's proposal as reasonable demands, responsible proposals, and generous suggestions for Iran, the region, and the world.
I leave the judgment to you and to our people as to whether Iran's demand for ending the war in the region, Iran's demand for stopping maritime policy against Iranian ships, what they have labeled a naval blockade, and Iran's demand for the release of assets belonging to the Iranian people, which for years have been unjustly frozen in foreign banks because of American pressure. Are these excessive demands?
Meanwhile, the Strait of Hormuz remains closed, and the fighting, despite the continuing ceasefire, also continues. The two sides are still trading fire in the strait, and Iran continues to launch attacks on targets in Gulf Coast countries, especially the United Arab Emirates. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the UAE had secretly been behind earlier attacks on Iran. With the Strait of Hormuz effectively closed, the effects are being felt around the world. In Iran, the price of food is skyrocketing. In the U.S., people are watching the price of gasoline continue to rise. In much of the world, people are anxiously waiting for deliveries of fertilizer for the current agricultural planting season. And UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres continues his calls for an end to the crisis.
The war involving Iran is not a distant crisis. Its impacts are being felt across the global economy.
He was speaking from a UN office in Nairobi, Kenya, where he noted that 4 in 5 African countries are net oil importers, and 13% of Africa's imports, largely oil and fertilizers, move through the Strait of Hormuz.
De-escalation is urgent. Navigational rights and freedoms must be restored. The Strait of Hormuz must reopen fully and safely, and all parties must refrain from any action that would widen the conflict. Diplomacy must be given every chance.
He says this is the moment when opening the strait is a must from the point of view of the international community as a whole.
It doesn't make sense that a conflict between a few countries has an impact that undermines the global economy everywhere in the world.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.